ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When was the last time you came face-to-face with wildlife in your area? I found a rainbow lorikeet perched on my sunflower plant yesterday, nibbling away at the seeds. Beautiful. And I live in the city. Depending where you live, nature can sometimes feel quite far away. But our next guest says amazing wildlife encounters are probably within your reach, even if you do live in a city, from platypus to birds, frogs, lizards and more. Jessie Oliver is an ecologist and executive officer at the Australian Citizen Science Association, who's here to share some tips and tricks and tools. Hi, Jessie.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Tell us a little bit about your childhood first up. What kind of exposure you had to nature and wildlife?
I was very fortunate because I grew up in Northern California, about 2 hours north of Sacramento, so inland, lots of cows and property, and I grew up with tons of wildlife around, but I also was introduced to animals in a more conventional, having loads of pets, and I had ducks, chickens, pheasants. I even raised a few cockatiels as a kid, and, you know, lots of rabbits, which you wouldn't have here, but I did a lot of rabbit showing and chicken showing and all kinds of crazy things as a kid. And then as a young adult, I was introduced to wildlife rehab. And that's really where my thinking started to transition to. I was rehabilitating songbirds and birds of prey and things like that at a very young age. Did a senior project focusing on how to engage people with wildlife when I was in high school. So it caught me way when I was very young.
Yes, indeed. Well, and it sounds like as an educator throughout your life, you've really wanted to pass on that joy and enthusiasm about wildlife to children. What kinds of benefits do you see that happening?
Yeah, I think for me, it was all about mentorship. It was about meeting the right people. I was really lucky to have parents that nurtured any curiosity I came up with relating to animals, whether it was whales that I couldn't necessarily keep in my backyard or having lots of bunnies or whatnot. And I think as I matured and went through that, I think connecting people, kids with people that have knowledge to share and sharing that curiosity with them as family and nurturing that is really fundamental. So finding resources and people to connect with and looking all around you because there is wildlife everywhere.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of people might assume that if there's concrete everywhere around you, then there won't be any wildlife. How much is about, Jessie?
Well, I think we need to really think about invertebrates here. So that's our creepy crawlies, like our spiders and our bugs and fun things like that, because there are many, many, many species that are all around us all the time, and they can be quite fascinating as an introduction. And they have really fascinating life cycles, so you can get really intrigued by what you're finding in the soil. If you find a chrysalis in the soil, well, gee, what is it going to become? And things like that. But also, of course, we've got loads of birds. And as you learn your urban birds, you'll have less diversity maybe, but you still have a lot. And distinguishing between, say, a magpie and a magpie lark or different species can be a really great introduction and nurture that curiosity. And then you can go out for side excursions to bushlands and gain more exposure to broader species. And I think a key thing is to listen as much as you look, especially if you're talking about birds and frogs and things like that.
Yes, there's nothing like hearing something at the edge of your consciousness and then thinking, wait, that's a frog. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting if you live in a city. We're speaking with Jessie Oliver, who's an ecologist and executive officer at the Australian Citizen Science Association, who's clearly, you know, just passionate about wildlife but is wanting to spread that joy too by helping get people involved in citizen science. Let's bring Alison Mellor into this discussion too. She's been using citizen science apps to explore her local environment and has been sharing those experiences with her daughter, Annie. Alison, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
What drew you into using the apps? Because I understand you've got a long-standing passion for, you know, native bees and wildlife generally. Mm-hmm. How did you get on into the digital space?
Yeah, look, I think I have always had a real interest in learning about wildlife and nature around me here. I live on Dharawal country in suburban Wollongong. And so when the Citizen Science app started coming out, I was just really curious to see if they might help me and my family to learn even more about the wildlife and the nature around us. And I also really like the idea that the records that you're contributing through the Citizen Science apps are really valuable to scientists. And so you feel like you're helping out with every record that you're submitting.
Well, yeah, and you've been trying quite a few, I understand. One about frogs, one about birds, a few other ones. What's it been like, you and your daughter heading out and using these different kinds of apps?
Yeah, look, it's been really fun. My favourite apps are definitely the Australian Museum's Frog ID app. So you actually record the audio of frogs that you hear in your local environment. And I've been really surprised at just even right here in suburbia, like how many frogs are around you once you actually kind of start tuning your attention in. And for us, it's been something that we do with friends as well. So we love to kind of go out bushwalking with friends or out frogging at night with friends. And so it kind of adds like that social aspect to it as well.
And I understand, you know, you might go out looking for frogs and you might encounter a whole range of other wildlife, from the unpleasant to the very exciting. You had some leech issues for a while, I understand.
Yes, look, particularly if it's been quite wet, we do have some beautiful rainforest areas near us here in Wollongong. And once we went up to Mount Kembla, and we were actually looking for bioluminescent ghost fungi that glows in the dark. And we were really stoked to find that up there. But the walk up there, we did come across quite a few leeches on the way. So it did keep us moving fairly quickly as we were walking. But that was actually turned out to be one of our most memorable kind of adventures out using the iNaturalist app and the Frog ID app. Because what else we found when we were up there looking at the glowing ghost fungi was we started hearing a little yapping noise, and we kind of followed that noise and we found out it was actually a sugar glider. And sugar gliders are my daughter's favourite animal. So she was absolutely over the moon to see one in the wild for the first time. And it definitely made all of the leeches worthwhile just for that.
That's good to know. And Alison, obviously, you know, this has been really interesting for you and your daughter. Do you feel that the benefits are mainly educational or more about well-being or a bit of both?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. And I think, you know, like obviously it's really educational, like using the apps and finding out more about what wildlife and plants and fungi are around you. But I think for us, and I feel for my daughter as well, like it's really about building a really strong connection to our local environment. So, you know, we've lived here in Wollongong our whole lives, but I feel like the more you kind of get out and learn about around us, it just makes you feel really connected to where you are.
That's true. Unlike this phone line, unfortunately, we'll have to let you go. But Alison, thanks so much for joining us on Life Matters today. Alison Mellor, who's been exploring her part of suburban Wollongong with amazing results with her daughter, Annie. Jesse Oliver, we hear this term citizen science a lot, but I think sometimes for some people it might even be a little off-putting or confusing. You know, I am not a scientist, so that's not for me. Do you think we need to change that perception or change the term?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion around terminology, and I think the important thing to remember is there's lots of people already doing things that are contributing to science that are anybody off the street or, you know, with any type of expert knowledge. And there's many types of knowledge that are needed to make citizen science happen, not just the scientific part of it. It's basically inclusion of the public in scientific research and scientific inquiries that can benefit everyone and we can all learn from. And many of them, most of them, are focused on the natural world. So I think it's about recognizing that many people do those activities already, and it can be called many different things, as long as we all recognize that we fit under this broader umbrella and that we're working together and following good practices and things like that. But also thinking about when you're trying to engage young people is, and people that may not have particular types of knowledge but would like to gain that knowledge, are the tools that they're using created to support them learning. And so if an app doesn't work for you, there's probably others out there. Give it a go, you know?
Well, and I mean, we heard some of the apps that Alison was using, Frog ID, iNaturalist, and BirdLife Australia's fantastic app. Are there other things that you can suggest, Jessie, either in the tech space or outside it, just to finish up with, that can help nurture that passion for wildlife among kids?
Yeah, I think one that I particularly like to show when I do professional development with teachers that are interested in engaging their youth with stuff is Merlin ID, which is Merlin is created by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and it gives you the option to contribute to citizen science, but it is a learning tool to be able to identify different birds. And it just asks you really basic questions like, is the bird perched on a branch, or where is it sitting, and what color is it? And then it will help you narrow it down with the power of AI, because they have loads and loads of citizen science data over decades that have actually informed the AI. And so you can directly know how that information has already been used to inform a tool, which is really neat and really simple to use. So that's a nice one to start out with. And recognizing, too, the AI is only as good as the information that underpinned it. So as people add more and more information over time, it's only going to get better.
Yeah, that's the joy of citizen science. Jessie Oliver, thanks so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Jessie Oliver is an ecologist and executive officer at the Australian Citizen Science Association. And we heard earlier from Alison Mellor too.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.